are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
This is it.
Theology is reality.
Bam. You know that tune strikes a chord deep in your heart because you know the geeks, the God geeks. That's right. We're back on a faithful Friday on a great episode. My name is Bill Brimer. I am the sort of producer and the co-host of the show here. You can find me on Twitter at Bill Brimer or my website, BillBrimer.com. This is my friend James Cleland. Tell him what your Twitter handle is.
At the James Cleland. And don't forget, Bill's got an album out right now on his website. You got to download that.
You can't forget that.
No.
You can't forget that. Thanks for that mention there. You can get that download. You can download that album for free on my website. But here's the thing. This week, we got some great Jedi mind trick stuff. We got some great This Week in Geek stuff. In Jedi Mind Tricks, we're getting into the idea of, is there such a thing as righteous anger? We live in an angry society.
Boy, do we
veil our anger in this idea that it's righteous. We're going to dig into that theologically. And then in This Week in Geek, we're getting into the geek show of the summer and possibly...
Oh, man, is it geeky.
Possibly the geekiest show, including Game of Thrones, all year long. Stranger Things on Netflix. It's excellent. We've both watched it. This is going to be a spoiler-free This Week in Geek. We're not going to spoil it. We're just going to preview for you what goes on. We're going to sort of hype it up a little bit so that you can see it before next week when we are going to spoil
it. Oh, yeah.
But anyway, here we go. We're getting right into it with Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
Is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
We talked about this segment before, how Jedi Mind Tricks, this segment is like the listener, as the listener, you're entering that dark cave where you find yourself in a lightsaber duel with Vader, only to find out that
it's
your own face in his mask as you decapitate him on the ground. Man, here's the thing, you geeks. Today, deeper into the cave are some stranger things. And that will make sense to you at the last part of this podcast when we get into the This Week in Geek subject. But there's some stranger things theologically that don't get talked about a lot, that have a lot of misunderstanding. And one of those things is the idea of righteous anger. Is it such a thing? And do we have a right to be angry as Christians? And it brings up a lot of questions, you know, about God and how he deals with anger and how we're commanded to deal with anger. And it brings up a lot of circumstances that you might find yourself in where maybe is it okay to be angry? And James, you and I, we both have read an article. And you wanted to talk about this
on the show. About, yeah.
So what I'm going to do is just throw it to you and hear kind of some of the things that the Lord and the text that you've been reading and the article that we read. First of all, tell us about the article if you can. And we'll put this in the show notes
so you guys can get a link to it.
Yeah, so it's excellent. So
yeah, so Dr. Gibbs over at Concordia wrote an article about anger and kind of just went through all of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, looking at basically every reference to anger, to kind of maybe pop the bubble of this idea I think we have of righteous anger, this crutch maybe we have about righteous anger,
misunderstanding
yeah. about righteous anger. And you know, the more when I read it, went through it, I'm like, oh, that's me. Yeah. Oh man, I've done that. You know, which typically whenever I read something that's talking about sin, yeah, if I'm honest.
Well, for sure, sin.
Yeah.
But do you think, let's ask that question.
Yeah,
is it a sin? Because...
That was the interesting thing about the article. So there definitely is righteous anger, but the article seems to point towards God's the only one capable of it, or that should be feeling it or doing it. Righteous anger.
Truly righteous anger. And one of the things that it says about God, and not just the article, but the scriptures tell us and teach us about God, is that he's slow to anger.
Slow to anger.
And I feel like that's a huge thing. And when God says about himself that he is slow to anger, imagine the kind of patience that God has.
Yeah.
Because here's a guy who is exists outside of the confines of time.
And yet he's slow to anger.
Describes himself as slow to anger. Like, he's actually not a wrathful, quick to judge.
No.
God. So, one of the things that's... Tell us what the...
Yeah, the article is saying, well, then the fact that he actually got angry in the Old Testament and New Testament, for that matter, means we really messed up.
Yeah, well, like that he has been offended and caused to be angry so far beyond like what we would normally, you know, imagine that he would be angry at, but that he's rightfully God... when he is angry, there's kind of two parts to it. Like that he's been offended beyond this point of patience, and it's taken him a long time and a lot to get there.
Yeah, he's shown a lot of grace.
And he is
in the
angry
process.
In the Old Testament, so he has been pushed past
the limit.
Yeah, past the limit, which is interesting and really scary to think about an all-powerful, almighty being.
Right.
Being actually
angry.
Because what happens, let me ask you this. I mean, it's a basic question. What happens to you when you get angry?
Well, unfortunately, my history has been I get angry too quick.
What is the result? Are you just angry?
No, it leads to sin. It leads to sin 100% of the time for me. If I get angry, it leads to sin. So for me to try to argue, well, that was righteous anger. Well, so what? Because it led to sin.
Yeah. Maybe there's a minuscule possibility.
I take it and make it sin.
It began as righteous anger, but you very quickly threw the righteousness out the window.
Oh, and then afterwards, when I look at that anger, unfortunately, I always try to find that tiny grain, that 0.001% of maybe there was righteous anger, and justify all the actions I took.
Yeah.
They deserved it.
Blame.
Yeah, blame.
Shift the blame. Yeah.
So then in that article, it talks about nowhere in Scripture does it talk about anger as a beneficial thing. Nowhere does it talk about it being something to seek. We shouldn't be seeking out righteous anger. It's not a good quality. Well, the Scripture does acknowledge the fact that it is inevitable that you will feel the emotion of anger. That's inevitable. But there's such a fine line between anger and sin that if you feel that emotion, if you feel that emotion, most likely it's going to lead to anger, so find ways to get away from that emotion.
So maybe could we say that God, or in the case of the New Testament, the Son of God in the flesh, Jesus, is capable of righteous anger without sinning?
He's the only one.
Right.
I think he's the only one. And what bugs me a little bit, and you gave a great message on this maybe a month or two ago, when Jesus was in the temple and he drives out the people with a whip, right? A lot of times when we look at that scripture, we think, oh, that's the example of what righteous anger looks like. So if I feel righteous anger, I need to make sure I'm like Jesus and take my time braiding my whip, and then, it'll be okay. and it won't lead to sin. Well, no, you're not Jesus.
I hope I didn't say that in my message.
No, you didn't say that. Your message was the exact opposite, which is a lot of times we look at it like that, but you were saying that he was driving out the sacrifices that aren't him. Right, something along those lines. I might be remembering
a little
off.
Well, I think that was Pastor Patrick.
Oh, was that Pastor? I thought it might have been you.
Yeah, he tied it into. He was driving away all the things that were coming between.
Right.
God and His people,
which was such a greater truth about that whole instance in the Bible.
Yeah.
That had been clouded because I'd always looked at it saying, "Okay, there's my justification for
my
anger."
Well, and it brings you to the idea that this is what really makes God angry. Even though he's slow to anger, what will make him angry is anything that comes between you and him.
Right.
Anything that comes between his ability to be with you.
Right.
And your ability, not your ability, but your righteousness or lack of righteousness keeping you away from him. Because really you have, and when I say righteousness, obviously, this is a churchy word that I think I make the mistake of saying, and people hear it and they don't necessarily understand what the word really means.
Right.
If I was to ask you what righteousness means, can you give me your definition of it? And then I'll
yeah, hopefully I bet you my kids in Sunday school this past Sunday would do a better job. They were very eloquent in their responses, but basically being right with God.
I think it is, but
might
I think
be better.
I think that's absolutely true. I think what we can a lot of times think about when we think about the term righteousness is we were created in paradise in the image of God,
right,
and we were fully human, and that is the way that we were intended to be.
Right.
That in that state, Adam and Eve in paradise were righteous. They were, everything was the way it was supposed to be.
Right.
Now, that unrighteousness, which is all that sin is everything that's not righteous. Anything that's not righteous is sin. Anything that changes God's creation and the way it was intended to be from being what its righteous state, if you will, is sin. And so now, we are so unrighteous all the time that when we think of righteousness, we can't even think of the way things are supposed to be. But there's something deep down inside, sort of the law written on our hearts, that tells us that things in this world, all you got to do is you can ask anybody, is the world the way it was supposed to, is the world operating right now the way it's supposed to be? Is everything all right? Everything good?
Nope.
And everybody will tell you, even down to a small child, of course not. You know, there's pain, there's suffering, there's death, there's selfishness, there's anger. You know, there's all these things that are broken about the world. Well, the righteousness is not broken. Righteousness is that perfect state of created in the image of God, fully human, and righteous is what we are in Christ because He is righteous and He's given the righteousness to us. And so when we're hurt by sin, oftentimes our first reaction is that, hey, there's something wrong here, there's an injustice here,
right.
And I, therefore, am angry about that unrighteousness, which in its very purest sense, I think what the article and what good theology would say is that's not necessarily sin that you have a dislike or a sort of
a hatred for evil,
a terrible reaction towards unrighteousness.
Right.
But when that creates in you that anger, that's very, very, very quickly you become a sinner with that anger.
It leads to the dark side.
It does. It does. There's a lot of Jedi teaching in there, or biblical teaching in the Jedi teaching
about
anger. I was in the car the other day with my wife, and I seem to get really angry in the car.
Oh, I did.
And I mumbled something or said something, and I was angry at backing up, and people wouldn't get out of my way, and there was all kinds of names, you know, thrown around that she heard, and she said, And she said this, and she said it in a way that, because she's very gentle with the way she mm-hmm. says these things, I think you might need some anger management. You know, like she, because I'm really beginning to realize about myself how angry I am, and my response, and she was like, you know, count to 10 or something, because I was yeah. angry, yeah. And my response to her was
anger?
That would just piss me off. If I had to count to 10, you know, all the coping mechanism for anger would just piss me off even more. So I realize about yeah. myself that yeah. I'm
at least you're self-aware now.
I don't think the extent to which I am an angry person, uh-huh. I realize how angry I really am. And I don't really know why. That's the scary thing about it. I don't really understand why I would be such an angry person. I'm so blessed.
Yeah.
I'm in such an incredible time in my life. I'm blessed with such a great family. I live in a great place. I have a great vocation and calling, and I have such great opportunities, and yet I'm angry. And I just I'm not projecting myself on anyone else, but I do feel like we're in a really angry country right now.
Yeah, we've got it really good compared to the rest of the world.
Oh my gosh,
we've got it great.
Yeah,
and we're angry. We don't have it greater.
There's an atmosphere right now of political anger. Mm-hmm. There's an atmosphere right now of sort of class mm-hmm. anger and income and seeming injustice. And I'm not saying that there aren't injustices out
right.
there.
But the answer isn't anger.
You have right now political conventions. You have one this week. You have another one. You have the Republicans who
it's had a lot of anger.
They're extremely angry at that convention.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I think there's just as many angry people on
both
the
sides,
other side.
Every side.
But it's been an interesting election primary season for the Republicans, because this issue was addressed a while back, and there was just sort of this, you seem very angry, like there, and it's sort of like, you're darn right I'm angry. And it was like,
yeah.
it was sort of a turning of the corner of kind of saying, yeah. embracing the anger,
yeah.
which fed the whole beast even more.
Yeah.
And it's, there's such tension right now.
Yeah.
And I really feel like, this article helped me. This Concordia Theology article that
yeah.
Dr. Gibbs wrote, which we'll link to so
yeah.
that people can read it. But it helped me look at myself too and kind of go, you know, there's a misconception about such thing as us being righteously angry,
right?
Because we so quickly, even if most of the time when we're angry, it's not a righteous anger. It's a selfish anger.
No.
I would say there's a good chance I've never been righteously angry.
Yeah.
But if
theoretically,
ever,
it's possible.
If I ever was righteously angry, I very quickly turned it into selfish anger.
Right.
And the problem is this whole idea that it's okay to be angry and that it's a good thing
embrace
to be angry.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, that is really...
That's scary.
Well, here's the thing. Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
And what does he say about it?
He equates it with murder.
He draws a straight line equal to being angry with your brother, equal to murder.
Yeah.
You've murdered them in your heart.
Yeah.
And there's not anybody that's going to tell you that that's okay, that murder's okay. But for some reason, even though we're Christians, we just toss that right out the window,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, like incredible teaching of our Lord and Savior, our God, who tells us if you're angry with your brother and sister, like towards one another, then you're a murderer, you know? and here's the thing. I don't really even know if, like, I think God loves us so much, you know, I'm talking about the vertical relationship here.
Right.
You and God. James, you and God.
Yep.
He loves you so much. And you are, to him, when he looks at you, he sees Christ because he's given you faith in him. Now, I really do believe that, James, you can say an angry prayer towards God. You can you can be angry with God. You can not understand what God's doing.
Yeah.
And he's a big boy. He can handle it.
He's going to forgive me.
You know, like, well, but I don't think he looks at that in near the same way that he would, James, if you are angry at someone, another human, that horizontal relationship with you and another human where you felt like because of anything that you were sort of above the other person or that somehow that they, you know, owed you something or that you were better somehow. So I really do think he looks at that in a different way.
Yeah.
I don't think this article really gets into that, but I do think that's
a reality
for us.
I think it's a good point you're making because, I mean, the times I've been angriest, I mean, there was one time I was so angry. I yelled up at God, and I'm so glad I had that opportunity that I even can do that without just being crushed.
Yeah. Well, he's your father, and he looks at you, and he loves you.
And that was the only way I could express my needs at that time because I am a broken vessel in so many ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think as angry and as, you know, when it comes out, manifests itself, obviously you can say some blasphemous things.
Sure.
And that's never good.
Sure.
That's not what I'm talking about. But the idea of sort of...
So I can't talk to God until I'm not angry? Well, but I need to not be angry.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I just think he looks at you like a child, his child, and he, if you're angry at him... he looks at you and says, I love you. And I'm glad you're talking to me.
Yeah.
Like I'm glad,
yeah.
You know, I'm glad that you've
totally.
Come. I'm glad that you're in my son and that I see you as righteous and that you are my son and that, you're an heir of my kingdom.
Yeah.
And you can come to me with your anger.
What a great way to respond to other people when they're angry at you. That I need to start doing that. Cause my normal response when someone comes at me and they're angry at me is responding with anger. But to maybe say, I'm just so happy you can come to me even when you're angry.
Right.
I mean, wow, that's quite the way to respond.
Might be a little different in traffic. But
totally. Hey, pull over for a second. Let me talk to you. I just wanted to say, I'm just so happy you can honk and yell things
Texas.
At me.
Don't do that in Texas. They're all armed, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, fascinating subject. There's a lot there. Something we'll definitely come back to and revisit and talk about some more. And maybe we can get... Maybe what we need some anger management. We need a Christian therapist to come in here and help straighten us out.
All right.
What we need is Jesus himself.
Yes, that would be perfect.
And I'm glad he's here doing that. And man, we're glad you're listening. And so we're going to jump right into This Week in Geek.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All you geeks that are angry that we took so long in Jedi Mind Tricks, man. Just
it was righteous anger.
Just take a deep breath.
Count to 10.
Actually, if you're like me, that'll just make you angry. but here's the deal. We have got the ultimate new show for you to absorb as geeks.
Oh, yeah.
That we're going to talk about today. And I hinted at it in Jedi Mind Tricks. We talked about it in the intro. It is the Netflix original series of Stranger Things. Now, here's the deal. This is going to be a spoiler-free This Week in Geek.
Yeah.
So if you have not seen Stranger Things or you don't have Netflix, first of all, get Netflix or get a friend's password for Netflix.
30-day free trial. Get that.
Yeah, get the 30-day free trial.
That'll give you long enough to watch.
Oh.
You only need 2 days to watch the whole series.
Believe
You're
me.
You're going to binge.
You'll binge watch this show. Especially if you even have the slightest bit of geekiness to you, or you are a child of the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. If you have both, oh man.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Stranger Things, the 8-episode season of a Netflix original that you've got to see, and we're going to talk about it in a way, obviously, that will whet your appetite for
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And then next week, here's
the thing.
We're
going to spoil everything next week.
Next
so
week,
get
we're
up.
Going into yeah. it and talking about how great it is. And,
yeah.
And
every single bit of it.
Yeah, the details of it. So you need to get it and watch it, which will be easy to do. It is. It's 8 45-minute
yeah.
episodes.
Yeah, it's so, watchable, definitely.
Yeah, and man, it's one of those that you hit... You hit,
yeah, because you said last week, well, let's just watch a couple episodes.
I didn't realize. Let me start by saying, James, my friend, you identified this early on. You
yeah.
were an early adopter. You
yeah,
sent me
I
the
like
trailer for this when you very first saw it, and you were like, I can't wait for this to come out. And your comment was, it looks like it's going to be E.T. meets the Goonies.
Yeah.
Which...
I'd say that's a good part of it, but then there's also some...
I think I could agree with that because there's definitely...
There's some close encounters, too, and...
There's a lot of greatness in this...
A lot of things in the mix.
In this show, and let's just talk about sort of the vibe of it.
Okay.
Where you think... first of all, the name of the guys who made it are called the Duffer Brothers.
Yeah, they were... If you've seen Wayward Pines... They wrote a lot of the episodes for that and directed a lot of the episodes.
I've been watching Wayward Pines.
So,
I see that now.
Yeah, there's a bit
so
of that, a
so, you know, it's interesting because there's... So M. Night
Shyamalan.
Yeah. The M. Night guy.
Yeah, M. Night.
Who has made...
First name basis.
He's made some great movies.
Yeah.
He's made some clunkers too, but
yeah.
Hey, what are you going to do? He produced Wayward Pines.
Okay, yeah.
So it's interesting that I see sort of his... they're in the same ballpark
yeah.
as the Duffer Brothers are in the same ballpark yeah. as him on that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I loved obviously Stranger Things. There's Dungeons and Dragons.
Yep, starts off with a little
there's,
bit of that.
The actual story takes place in 1983.
Uh-huh. So after Empire Strikes
Empire
Back.
Empire Strikes
so
Back
Star
has been
Wars
out. There's
there.
Some Star Wars stuff in there that where the kids are. You know, they're into Star Wars. They're
yeah,
into
they're
Dungeons
totally
and Dragons. The four kids, the four boys, and then the eventual...
Oh, those four boys were me growing up. That
oh,
was me
my
and my
gosh.
Buddies building
that,
fortresses
well, I tell
in the
you,
woods.
I can tell
D&D.
You, when I was just like a member of that gang
yeah.
in when I was in sixth grade. And I lived in Conroe. I was into D&D. We rode our bikes all around the neighborhood.
Walkie-talkies.
We played war games.
Yep,
we were
yep.
wearing camo.
Yep.
You know, had our and
slingshots,
and,
everything.
Yeah. Like we would like we I remember I spent the night at a friend's house, and this reminds me so much of them, of these kids in this show. I spent the night at a friend's house, and we snuck out at night.
Yeah.
But the reason that we snuck out wasn't to go party or do anything.
No.
We snuck out to sneak around like we were playing
yeah.
war.
Yeah.
We wanted to play
That's
war
what we
at
did.
Night.
Yeah.
Like we were just kids.
No.
We didn't even know that, you know, and some people ended up calling the cops because they saw like kids in camo with fake guns and everything. But that this show, man, it was so dead on for my childhood growing up in the 80s
yeah.
when I was a young kid.
And they did it without creating a reboot.
Yeah.
I loved that they were able to prove you can have nostalgia without having to rehash things or have a reboot. You can do something new and original but be full of nostalgia.
And they didn't just capture the time period like if you grew up in the time period.
Right.
Let's say you didn't grow up in the time period, but you've seen movies from the time period.
Right.
They have so many aspects of their storytelling.
Uh-huh.
You know, because let's just talk about it for a minute. Sort of, there's a group of four young boys that
mm-hmm.
it's involved. One of them mysteriously goes missing, and
right.
that sort of launches the storyline. But so they're the main characters. These young
Right.
Probably what? 5th, 6th grade?
Yeah, 6th grade. 6th, 7th grade.
But there's also high school kids involved
yep.
in the story. So they do a great
Just
brush
like
stroke
Goonies.
Where, yeah, they have like the older kids and what they're into,
right.
which is, you know, they're all, you know, interested in sex and beer and
right.
you know, all the things that
80s teenagers.
80s
yep.
teenager movies
yep.
went into. And then they have the adults, and the beauty is it's TV, and TV being the great new medium, they're able to develop these characters. Yeah, so the adults are, you get attached to them, you get attached to the sheriff, you get attached to the mom, and
the
you
teenagers,
see,
the kids, everyone.
And
oh,
one
and
of
the kids
greatest,
are written so well. That doesn't normally happen.
And acted so well.
Acted so well. Cast well. I mean, it was amazing.
Oh, unbelievable. The young, I would say this, that the young girl that is one
places.
Of the main characters is perhaps one of the most convincing actresses I've ever seen. She can't be.
I don't know if she's been in any other movies yet.
We'll have to research it. We'll have to research it before the next episode, because here's the thing. Her anguish and her sorrow and her ability to
empathize.
Dramatic ability. I've never seen anything a kid do anything like this kid
so
does
great.
In this show. I mean, the other kids do a great job because the kids do a great job because their characters and their roles are so fun. This young girl, her character's
it's not fun.
It's not a fun role.
No.
It's a dark role.
And she portrays that.
She nails it. It's phenomenal. It's a great show. So here's the thing, guys. Next week we're getting into it.
Yeah, you better watch every episode.
You got to watch this and take notes, because you'll be able to call us out on what we missed, what references, what movie references.
So
we
many
missed.
References.
And if you've ever played D&D, I mean,
you're gonna love
this.
This
is your movie, man.
Yeah.
This is your movie.
Yeah.
So, boy, we really geeked out now.
Yep, sure
but,
did.
But I can't wait for next week so we can spill the beans. Go watch that show, and we'll see you next week.